With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Andy Slavitt has been kind enough to join our show a number of times. He served the Obama administration as the acting administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. He was a part of the Biden administration right at the start, playing such a key role as the senior pandemic advisor to the president. Just walked away just last week, and I mentioned the book Preventable, the inside story of how leadership failures, politics, and selfishness doom the U.S. coronavirus response. And Andy's with us on the Shift Real Estate Hotline. Do you have 36 hours in your days? Because you must be extraordinarily busy to pull all of this off. You had the podcast for a while. You have a family, to be involved with the White House and to write this book. Have you figured out something about time travel to add more hours to the day?
Well, I mean, it's just such a great privilege to be asked to come do public service, particularly at a time of crisis that, you know, we did have a lot going on, but the country and the world was at, I think, a seminal moment. And so they estimated that if I came in for about 4 months, you know, we'd either have it all figured out or we'd be in a world of hurt. So I decided to do that. You know, the book has been something I've been, I've been working on all the last year, because even before I came into the Obama administration, I spent time with Jared Kushner and Debbie Birx and many state governors and people around the country on the pandemic response. And I wanted to get it all down in a place that people could see the stories that emerged in the last year, now that we are closer to safety than we've ever been.
So I want to get to some of the major issues you had with what took place with President Trump and his administration. But I know, and you just laid it out, that you talked to a lot of people within the administration, the previous administration. When you look at the Trump administration, what was the best thing they did in responding to COVID-19?
The best thing that they did was are the occasions when they actually left the career staff alone to do their jobs. And one great example of that was something that was actually created within the FDA called Operation Warp Speed, from a guy who was a fanatic for Star Trek. And his idea was to embed the people at the FDA in with the drug companies so we would cut down the time it took to approve a drug. It was a brilliant idea. They brought it to Alex Azar, who was Department of Health and Human Services, and Alex Azar approved it, and they let them run, and these guys did a brilliant job. When they got themselves in trouble is when they started to suppress the work of the teams. And so at one point, that same Alex Azar wanted to go tell the public to be careful that things could, quote unquote, change rapidly. He was going to do that on Fox and Friends. The White House pulled him, and not only that, said that the Department of Health and Human Services for the next 45 days, beginning of the pandemic, wasn't going to be permitted to talk to the public at all. That story is in the book as well. Yep. So they're better off. It's a tough thing to manage, but you're better off when you let the experts do their jobs.
Well, it just seems like from everything I've witnessed and looking at the book, everything for the president, President Trump now, was a calculus of how it affects him every hour of the day. And for any president, this would have been a remarkable challenge. But instead of laying the cards out there, trying to get the smartest people around him, and telling the public, we're learning a little bit ahead of you, but this is all new to us, but we are going to throw everything at it. It was how, in his mind, this could keep him ahead of fill-in-the-blank Democratic contender for his job. That every single day, how could he manage this so he would still be in a better political position, as opposed to how could he get this information out there to give people the best chance to stay healthy?
I think you're exactly right. Look, I'm very forgiving of honest mistakes, and we all ought to be forgiving of honest mistakes, particularly in an environment where there's a lot that's changing, and we don't know the facts, and it's coming rapidly, and there's a fog of war. I'm not at all forgiving of dishonest mistakes. I'm not at all forgiving when people try to deceive the public, when people quash dissent, when people intimidate people who disagree with them because they want a certain narrative, and when that costs lives. So anybody managing a pandemic is not an easy thing. But as someone in the book says, it's almost impossible to get an A in managing a pandemic, but it's also almost impossible not to at least get a B. To get a B, all you have to do is be honest with the public, show some empathy, and work hard to try to save people's lives and help people's businesses. But Trump didn't get a B because Trump couldn't do those things, because Trump saw himself in the way of all of this. And so he did what he could to avoid accountability. He did what he could to downplay the problem and deny that it exists. And, you know, as my conversations with Jared and others showed, they were either doing his bidding or they were going to have to work around him in moments when it became very difficult. And I can say this having worked for two other presidents, neither of whom were perfect, but both of whom just basically said, Andy, just do your job. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about the politics. Just do your job, which involved helping the public.
I want to pick up on your conversation with J.R. Kushner just in moments. I want to remind people Andy Slavitt is with us. His latest book, outstanding reviews across the political spectrum, too. Preventable, the inside story of how leadership failures, politics, and selfishness doom the U.S. coronavirus response. You know this. J.R. Kushner was incredibly powerful throughout both campaigns that President Trump ran. And he was extraordinarily powerful within the White House, including with COVID. How open and honest was he about the role that was thrust upon him, whether he was prepared for it, and how he balanced that political calculus with getting that important information that was prioritizing masks and testing and just getting the best people funneled to get the right information out there?
Well, you know, there's a caricature of Jared, which is I try to get beyond in this book, which is this, not to try to make the judgment, is he good, is he bad, but really try almost verbatim to lay out the interactions I had with him, how I interpreted the things he said and the things that he did. Ultimately, you know, he was a reflection of the man he served. So he was a reflection of his father-in-law, and he was a political operative for his father-in-law. So nobody met anybody that wanted the pandemic to get worse. But his principal job was to keep the splash away from his father-in-law. And one of the things that he confided in me was that he wanted his father-in-law to get credit for the state's opening, which was back in late April, but that from then on, that the governors were going to have to face the blame when things went wrong. And they knew things were going to go wrong, and he wouldn't take accountability. And I had a brief argument with Jared where I said, this is going to doom us to have more losses. And he basically said, now these Democratic governors, they want us to fail. So in a sense, it's going to be all on them. And there wasn't sufficient testing. There wasn't sufficient amount of anything. So he, you know, if you're going to work for the president, you have to some extent reflect what that president wants. And then this president did not want to know, how do I save the most lives? How do I open the economy fastest? How do I help the country? And it's a shame, because I think he would have gotten a ton of support from across the aisle if President Trump had just said, look, we're in trouble and we need to all pull together and and no one has all the answers. There's a history after 9/11 of George W. Bush getting much more popular. There's a history of people rallying to their leaders during crisis times. So he almost had to work hard against it. His instincts were entirely wrong. His instincts were to say, there's not a real problem here, and I'm not accountable for it.
I agree with you 100%. In fact, I think if he would have done that, he would still be president. I didn't support him. I didn't agree with him. But the country wanted to rally, and sadly, we still have this divide. So I want to talk about that divide right now.
Yeah. And a lot of the story of the book is me calling the White House and saying, I'm a Democrat, but I'm here to help, and us having a good working relationship that at the end of the day I had to walk away from to some extent because I felt like they weren't being honest and they were hiding information from the public. So, we all should support people when it comes to saving people's lives and put differences aside.
So let's talk about your time with the Biden White House. And in a version of the same question I asked you about President Trump, what is the best thing you guys did? And what part of your effort disappoints you most that you didn't get further down the line now that you've after an intense, 6 months there, have moved on with the rest of your life?
Well, if you bring yourself back to mid-January of this year, it was a very different situation. We had thousands of people dying every day. We had no vaccines to speak of. The vaccines that were getting sent out to states, more than half of them were getting lost, and there was no accounting for them. They weren't getting into people's arms, and people were extremely frustrated. By the way, only 40% of people said they trusted the vaccine. So with only 2% of the people would even had a shot by then, to sit here today and be nearing 70%, and seeing the health of this nation, not just the physical health, but the health of the economy, the health of people's attitudes, change so much. It's probably one of the largest transformations this nation's ever undergone. And so I feel extremely good about that. And what I give credit most to is President Biden, who essentially said, I'm accountable. That's the biggest difference he made. He basically said, we're not going to fight with governors. We're not going to get distracted. When we had a weather event, we're not going to make that an excuse. When Pfizer doesn't have enough equipment, we're not going to make that an excuse. If Johnson & Johnson has to build up the market, that's not going to be an excuse. We're going to vaccinate the country as quickly as possible. And we did it at about twice as fast, or about half the time that I thought we would when I got there. So, any of my disappointments, anything that I think we did wrong, were minor compared to the fact that we did such an acceleration for the public and brought this pandemic down to being a manageable problem. And any people can criticize any given decision, of course, at any given time, but we get the big important stuff right. And at the end of the day, it's a bit of a luxury to say there's one most important thing, and we're going to get that one most important thing right. And, everything else, we're going to do the best we can.
Are you hopeful that 6 months from now, and I got about a minute to answer this one, that the numbers that are very low in certain states of this country, in the 30 and 40% on vaccines, will change, or do we have to accept where those numbers are at?
Well, I think we'll make some progress, but, we range from Arkansas at 50% to Vermont nearing 90%. And, with a Delta variant or any other variant like this, that makes places like Arkansas exposed to more cases. And so I hope that people consider, who haven't been vaccinated, they consider getting vaccinated. If they have questions, they should talk to their doctor. Don't go on Facebook. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to a politician. Talk to your doctor. Talk to a pharmacist. Talk to people who've been vaccinated. Get real facts, not myths. And I think most people will find that this is an extraordinary vaccine. We've given, 315 million times in this country. And, there are still people that are dying and going to the hospital from COVID, but those are almost entirely people who've never been vaccinated. So there's a good reason to do it. But some people, it's a more lengthened process for how they make this decision, and it'll take some time. I think once the FDA approves the drug, the vaccine finally, that may give us another bump too.
Andy, as always, thanks so much for coming on. I wish you the best with the book.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Preventable. The inside story of how leadership failures, politics, and selfishness doomed the U.S. coronavirus response.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.